Friends, do you like a bargain? I suppose if we're all honest enough, we would say we all like a bargain. Mankind is a great bargainer. We have all those different programs on television such as Bargain Hunt and the like. Or whether it's the farmer who goes down to the market and haggles over the price of a beast. Of course, he wants a good beast, but he wants it at a reasonable or bargain price. Or whether it's those adverts on television or that we see on the internet encouraging us to buy the latest electronic gadget for the kitchen or elsewhere, and to do so at knockdown prices. Or whether we're as the people here described in the book of Micah, that they were doing, for they were bargaining with God. What shall I do? What shall I give? What will the Lord be pleased with? What shall I give for my transgressions? And though they meant well, as many people do, and Rosie was sharing with us this morning how humbling it is to see the zeal and the earnestness of the Muslim people. Misguided, we would say, but in earnest nonetheless. We need to be like the people here in Micah, to be shown our ignorance of what is required. And so they inquire in verse 6, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the Most High? But what has led to this bargaining attitude on the part of his people? We see in verses 1 and 2, Micah pointing out that God has a complaint with his people. Hear now what the Lord says, for the Lord has a complaint against his people. But then we have those tender words of verse 3. Oh, my people, what have I done to you that you treat me as you do? How have I wearied you? If you have a case against me, speak forth. Testify against me. But before you do, remember this, verse 4. I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage. I sent you Moses to deliver and instruct you. I sent you Aaron to atone and pray for you. I sent you Miriam to lead you, especially the women, in thanking and praising God. Remember what Balaam said in answer to Balak, king of Moab. His request that Balaam should curse the children of Israel. And Balaam said, I cannot. I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord. We read that in Numbers 22, verse 18. And so in verse 8, the prophet reminds the people of God's unwearied goodness in other days and their strange response to that goodness. God has shown you, O man, and not just the people in Israel long, long ago, but down through the centuries since and today. Friends, God has shown us what is good. Like David in Psalm 34, O taste and see that the Lord is good. And then Micah reminds the people again, God has shown you what he requires from you. For the people had asked in verse 6, with what shall I come before the Lord Shall I come with burnt offerings? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? No, 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 1,000 times no. That is not what God wants. It is not burnt offerings that please him, or animals for sacrifice, or simply that we give him of our substance, and that often begrudgingly. Nor were the people to give their firstborn as human sacrifice. That was an abominable practice. It's only in devil worship, cults, and practice even today that such barbaric rites are to be seen. Like Amos, Micah's great contemporary, ritual could never be a substitute for righteousness. Right doing must always go before right ceremony, or wrong ceremony for that matter. Only if our heart condemn us not can we have confidence toward God. 1 John 3 verse 21 and the next verse. We receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. But friends, only if our heart is right with God. So let us therefore consciously appeal to the justice and the mercy of Almighty God. The people here are seemingly smitten with remorse, and so with ignorant and exaggerated zeal, they offer what they feel God will accept, even though it was grossly misguided. And how many poor souls are misled in this way today? Such plausible and eager suggestions, however, were mere hypocrisy. Their view of duty, sadly mistaken. Why is it that man wants to set his or her own terms for repentance and walking with God, as though he or she knows better? God's way is clearly set out in his word. Now, it was not as though this was new instruction from Micah. Not at all. For we read in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, how Moses had directed the people. And now, Israel, what does the Lord require of you but to fear the Lord, to walk in all his ways, to love him and to serve him with all your heart and soul, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, and all for your good. That's the ironic thing, isn't it? We want to put stumbling blocks in the way of what God is telling us to do, and yet he's saying to us, it's all for your own good. Or in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, Samuel tells the people what it was God sought so anxiously from them. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And yet we read in verse 7 of Micah chapter 6 that the people ask, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? Hosea 2 brings out the same idea in chapter 6. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. And so the question is asked in verse 8 of Micah 6. What does the Lord require of you and me? This is the most important question that you and I can raise. For depending on its answer or its answers, does your life and mine and the work that we do hinge? Note well you that it doesn't say, what does man require of you? Or does it say, what does society require of you and me? Or even, what does the church require of you and me? But what does the Lord require of you and me? And then he gives us this threefold answer: to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Or as Moffat has it, to be just and kind and live in quiet fellowship with your God. But very briefly, let's take each of these three things. To do justly. We must do wrong to no one, but do right to all. In their bodies, or as far as their goods and good name are concerned. The second table of the law governs and covers this ground. You shall not kill. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And you say, "Look, I've heard all that before." Of course we have. From we were knee high to a grasshopper, we've heard it. But are we living it out today? You might go home today and turn your radio or TV on and you'll hear of this murder and that murder, or this theft and that theft, or this adultery and that adultery. To know God is to do justice. To love mercy. We're not only to do justly, but to love mercy. And mercy is more than justice. We are to do the one, but we are to love the other. See that subtle difference? We are to do justly. It doesn't go on to say we are to do mercy. It says we are to love mercy. Are we loving our neighbour? Or are those people that we just don't get on with? We can't stand. Is there that family relationship that needs to be repaired? Maybe you have to make the first step. If justice compels us to go a mile, mercy freely goes too. If justice says, pay me what you owe, mercy listens to the suppliant's cry, have patience with me and forgive me the debt. Not only then are we to be just to all we deal with, but kind to all who need us. Also, we are not to simply to show mercy, but we are to love mercy. Those who would be his followers must not only go the first mile of justice, but the second mile of mercy. But there is a third strand, isn't there, to this instruction from God through Micah. We are to walk humbly with our God. It's sometimes said that Micah deals only in moralities and takes little or no account of creed or worship. But surely when Micah says, and walk humbly with your God. He's touching at the core of the argument. How can anyone walk with God without knowing who God is? Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And there's surely no better definition of the religious life than that it is a humble walking with God. Such a walk will inevitably lead us to a transformation of character and conduct. For Christ is our Paschal Lamb who went to Calvary's cross to die for us. And through him there is an acknowledgement that we belong to God. Therefore, we must walk with him, and we must do it humbly, so that he can mould and shape our character and our conduct. Not streaming blood nor cleansing fire, thy righteous anger can appease. Burnt offerings you do not require, or gladly I would render these. The broken heart in sacrifice, alone will thine acceptance meet. My heart, O God, do not despise, abased and contrite at thy feet. When I was preparing this sermon for today, I came across these words from the late Keith Green, a songwriter of the 70s and 80s who tragically died in an air crash. And the title of the song is, "To Obey is Better Than Sacrifice." And I would honestly ask you, if you have time, to download it on the internet. Just type in Keith Green in Google and you'll get a whole stream of songs that he wrote. Listen to this one. "To obey is better than sacrifice. I don't need your money. I want your life. I hear you say that I'm coming back soon, but you act like I'll never return. Will you speak of grace and my love so sweet? How you thrive on milk but reject my meat? I can't help weeping, or how it will be if you keep on ignoring my words. Well, you pray to prosper and succeed, but your flesh is something I just can't feed. To obey is better than sacrifice. I want more than Sunday and Wednesday nights. Because if you can't come to me every day, then don't bother coming at all. To obey is better than sacrifice. I want hearts of fire, not your prayers of ice. And I'm coming quickly to give back to you according to what you have done. According to what you have done." Let's pray together. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, how true are the words of your word. For your word goes deep into our hearts, pierces deep within us, shows us who we are, what we are, and what we need. And Lord, we need you today. We need you to be our guide, our direction. Come by the power of your Spirit. Make us the men and women, boys and girls, that you want us to be, for your praise, your honour and your glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.